I titled this lesson, The Need for Older Women. The reason for that is the church so very much needs the wisdom, the counsel, the advice of older women. Women who have been married for many years. Women who have raised a family. Women who've worked outside the home at times in various careers. Women who've taught Bible classes and helped the church in a lot of different ways. Because God's Word instructs, it exhorts older women to model what godliness looks like and then to instruct the younger women. And they're to instruct the younger women about what it means to be a Christian woman. In our text this morning, we see three aspects of what Christian womanhood looks like, what it means. And they're very, very important instructions. Our text is Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And important verses they certainly are. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. We will read those three verses and then we will look at what they mean to women today in the church. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 says, "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." The first thing we see in verse 3 is that older women are to be reverent. They're to be reverent in behavior. This word in the original means calling forth respect. In other words, her behavior, by what she does, what she doesn't do, what she says, what she doesn't say, calls forth respect. This is a word that's used in the New Testament to describe those people who are women who have given their lives in service to God. In other words, sacred service. Her behavior is suitable for holiness. Her state of mind is suitable for holiness. Those things that are sacred, not those things that are common and profane, but those things that are sacred. She's to be a godly example of holiness. A classic example of this is found in Luke chapter 2, where we read about a godly woman and how she lived. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Look at how she is described. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Referring to Anna, who was a prophetess. It says in verse 36, "She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." There's a woman, a godly woman, given to God. See, given to sacred service, given to those things that are holy. So it's her character and it's her faith that adorn her. We have this description in 1 Timothy chapter 2 of a godly woman. Listen to these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. This, of course, is a section about men and women in the church. Notice verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2. "In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." See, that's what her adornment is primarily to be about. Her good works, her character, her behavior, her faith, those things make her attractive. In other words, those things are what adorn her. Those are what things people see. So older women are to model reverent behavior. It says also, they're not to be slanderers. The phrase basically means malicious gossips. Does not use her tongue to run other people down. That's what it means. Not using her tongue for ugliness. She's not a gossip. She doesn't spread rumors. In Proverbs chapter 10, we have this description, a very similar description about a godly woman. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, the wise man says this, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." A fool is one of the worst descriptions of a person in the Bible. Someone who is a fool is someone God looks down upon. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. So godly women, older women in the church, are not to be slanderers. They have to be very careful about what they say, that it's the truth, and that it comes from the right spirit. She's not given to much wine. What does this refer to? This has to do with self-control. It has to do with self-control. They're to be models of temperance. They're to be models of self-control. They're, in other words, sober-minded, which means they're in control of their minds. Their minds don't go every direction. They avoid trivial things. They avoid foolish things. When Peter wrote his first letter in 1 Peter chapter 4, he made a similar description about women there. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, and I think that's supposed to be 1 Peter chapter 3. No, it is verse, I'm sorry, it is chapter 4 verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." There's that same idea. Be serious. Sober-minded. So women are to avoid trivial things, foolish things, things of no value. See, that they're modeling that for younger women. They're modeling that type of behavior. They're reverent. They're respectful. They watch what they say. They're self-controlled. They have a serious disposition when it comes to spiritual things. They're sober-minded. But that's not all. It says they're also teachers of good things. Teachers of good. How do they do this? By advice and by example. So younger women can see how they are living, and older women can give good advice. See, they're teachers of good. Whatever is good, excellent, is another way to translate that word good. Things that provide a superior benefit. See, older women can give good advice. Why? Because they've lived through it. Whether it's being married for many years, or raising families, or working in the world, or working in the church, they can give good advice. And they can also do that by how they live. And so they're teachers of things that are good and excellent and noble and right and that are beneficial. So older women in the church have a great responsibility both in their modeling of godliness as well as their teaching and giving advice to others. The older women must be in order that they may do. The being comes first before the doing. They must be. And so they're to model this type of behavior, godliness, and how important that is. Because then it says they're to teach, admonish, train. The word means to give instruction in wise behavior and good judgment. So the older women in the church then have this responsibility to teach, train, admonish. younger women on how to make good judgments, how to behave wisely. That's your responsibility to do that very thing. What are those things that they're to admonish them about? First of all, to love their husbands. How vitally important that is. Because from the very beginning, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, women are to be companions. Women are to be companions to their husbands. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." To walk side by side through life. Life is hard enough. So God said, let us make a helper, a companion to walk through life with. You mean someone needs to be taught to love their husbands? Absolutely. They must be taught. This love that he's talking about here is a love that includes devotion as well as friendship. You know, the best thing in the world is to marry your best friend. So this love here that the older women are to instruct the younger women about is a love that includes devotion and friendship. So if you are griping about your husband's bad habits, you are not loving him. Because that's not being a friend to your husband. Here are some ways a wife can love her husband. And of course, this is a very shortened list, but certainly a good one. Use a kind tone of voice. That's a way to show love to your husband. Positive body language. You know, body language says so much. You can say something that sounds good, but your body language says just the opposite. So positive body language, a gentle touch, is so necessary, so important, so worthwhile. A listening ear. A wife who is willing to listen. Quality time. That's easier during certain stages of your life than it is at others. Speaking well of your husband. Apologizing when you need to. And like I said, that's just a very short list of ways that a wife can show love for her husband. Because think about this. When the community hears about a family that's falling apart, it hurts the church's influence. Just remember that. It does. It hurts the church's influence. Very badly. So older women are to teach younger women, instruct, admonish younger women to love their husbands, and next, to love their children. Motherhood is a very noble calling, a very high calling, a very holy calling. Why is instruction needed? Because love takes deliberate effort. Deliberate effort. Time spent with children is never a wasted time. Regardless of what that time is, it is not wasted. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul says this in verse 14. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. Says this, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." See how important that is? So by doing those things, it helps so that the adversary, of course ultimately Satan, won't have an opportunity to speak reproachfully about Christ and His church, about Christians, about disciples. When it comes to loving their children, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 is an excellent text. That's not what that text is about, but it would certainly be a text that would help women to love their children and how that love is to be exhibited or displayed. How do you show that you love your children? Next it says, Love your husband, love your children, to be discreet. This word means self-control. This word means sensible or balanced. In other words, not a person of extremes. Balanced in their lives, balanced in their in what they do. So not a life of extremes. That's what this idea is. Sensible, balanced, self-controlled. And the Bible says so much to every Christian about self-control and being sober-minded, in control of your mind. So older women teach younger women to be chaste, or as it's often translated, pure, modest. Peter also referred to this when he wrote 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in the first two verses of that chapter, he's talking about women, godly women, Christian women, and he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct," there's the idea again, "accompanied by fear," accompanied by respect. This is one way a Christian woman can help, influence, hopefully convert a non-Christian, a non-believing husband, is by her behavior. So see how important it is for older women to instruct and teach younger women these principles. Also, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers. This word basically has the idea of a maker of the home. One of the one of women's most basic and most important responsibilities is to make the home. Make the home. Looks after domestic affairs. To have the primary care of day-to-day activities of the home. That responsibility is both a blessing and a work. But it is a woman's responsibility, a wife's responsibility to do that. She's to guard the priority of the home. She's not to let anything else take priority over that. That is such an important work. It's not to take a back seat to anything. That's how important the home is. And we see how our society has just completely turned that idea upside down. Just completely wiped it out. So older women are to teach younger women to be good, or maybe better translated, kind. Kind. A nice person to be around, a pleasant person to be around, one that's not rude or ugly in their attitude, one that has that pleasant disposition, that pleasant personality. And then lastly, to be obedient to their own husbands, or as we read then 1 Peter 3, submissive to their husbands. This is God's design for the home. In Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul wrote to the church there in Ephesus, he says in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Submission does not mean inferiority. That's what our culture says. It's not the truth, though. Not in any way, shape, or form. Because going back one more time to 1 Peter, 1 Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, we read the first two verses. Now notice, beginning in verse 3, 1 Peter 3:3, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now notice another way that she adorned herself was by being submissive to her husband. So godly women are to model godliness. Older women are to model godliness, reverent behavior, and then instruct, teach, admonish younger women on how to live a godly life. But the third point is, why is this so important? What's the motivation? And we see that in the last part of verse 5, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, I said a while ago, when the community hears about a family, a Christian family that falls apart, it hurts the influence of the church. And that's what he's saying here. So why should Christian women exhibit these qualities? So that the word will not be reviled. The world knows that Christian families, Christian husbands and wives and children, are to act a certain way, behave in a certain way, live a certain way. They know that. And so when we don't, then it hurts the church. And that's what he's saying here. It dishonors God's word when we don't live according to it. So a godly woman brings glory to God. She does. She brings glory to God by how she lives. It is a great responsibility. But it is absolutely imperative to the church. It's so, so important. If the church is to survive, it must consist of godly older women. There must be godly older women in it, to model godliness, to show reverent behavior, to teach and instruct and admonish the younger women. You might ask, well, what difference can one woman make? Well, she can make all the difference in the world. All the difference, because she can impact generations to come. Generations and generations and generations by what she did, how she lived, what she taught, the advice she gave can affect generations and generations to come. Now that is important. And that is why the Bible talks so much about the importance of women, the importance of godly women, and of course in our age in the church, how important you are. And that's what we need to take home with us, is how very, very important the role of women is in the church. We speak so much about the role of men in the church, but the role of women in the church is every bit as important, vital to its future. Very, very much so. The lesson is now yours. You may decide that you need prayers of the congregation. You need to pray for strength. Or maybe it's time you've been thinking about obeying the gospel and it's the day that you've decided to do that. But whatever it is, if you need to respond, we want you to do that as we stand and sing.